continue with God's word in Exodus chapter 20, looking at verses 1 and 2, and then verses 8 through 12. And as we come before God's word, let us again be in prayer. Lord, we come believing that your word is living and active, and it is able to help us find true wisdom, to discern right and wrong, to see grace, and through your Spirit receive grace. So open up our minds and our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. This is part two of a two-part series, very short series, looking at God's glory in last week, his work and rest, and this week, God's glory in our work and rest. So last week, it was foundational, looking at God, who God is, what God's work is, and what it means for God to be at rest. It's foundational because it is God who enables us to be able to work and to rest in the appropriate way. So I want to look then, just kind of refresh our minds, and then for those who weren't here last week, to be able to see what we're talking about here. And in essence, it's just saying that God is fully sovereign in all that he does, his power, his purpose, and in supplying us grace. So last week, we looked at God created all things. The powerful, sovereign God, the only being in the universe who could do that. And God who could do it without breaking a sweat, we could say. That it was nothing for God. God just spoke and everything came into being. So he demonstrates his unlimited power. He shows his beauty, incredible beauty in creation, not just what we can see here on earth, but throughout the vast expanse of the universe, and not just what we can see with our eyes, but also at the microscopic level that no one can see at. So God created, and God is full in who he is. He did not have to create. In other words, we looked at creation is not an extension of the being of God, but God chose to create out of his fullness to share his glory, his beauty, and his grace with us. And then God looked at the creation and said, this is very good. In other words, God doesn't make junk. God does good. But woven into that was free will, and God knowing that people would disobey. And God's plan that was there before the foundation of the world to send his son Jesus to take our place, our punishment. And so it is very good includes this plan of salvation. So God redeems us through his son, and we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And then in creation, in Genesis 1, it talks about God resting. And God resting not because he was tired after creating all things, but just simply to state that he was done and that his plan was laid forth for eternity so God could be perfectly at rest. And being at rest is another way of saying that he has no needs whatsoever. God is complete, sufficient, and abundant. And then it is talking about God displaying his perfect peace. Even though God knew that we would sin, and we might look at the world around us and see chaos, God is at perfect rest because he knows that his plans are laid forth and nothing can stop them. It will proceed as God has planned. And part of that plan, then, is our salvation. So God did great work, the great work of creation, the great work of salvation, and God is at perfect rest, and then God calls us into that rest. And he calls us also into work. So that's what we're looking at today. Tomorrow's Labor Day. It's sort of the time that we would perhaps look at work and say, why? Why do we work? What's important? So foundational is God enables us through his preceding work and rest. And now we look at that we are beings who were created to work. That's part of what God's design is. We can see this with Adam and Eve. We would look at Genesis 2:15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." God gave Adam the work and purpose. So God commands work. Now, when we look at the passages today, now both the passage that Dee read and that I read deal with the Sabbath. So she read from Deuteronomy, which is the second giving of the law, is what Deuteronomy means, but it's the Ten Commandments are found in Deuteronomy, and they're found first in Exodus. So I read from Exodus. And it's an interesting thing that when we look at this command to keep the Sabbath, that's the focus, is to come into the Sabbath rest, but it also gives in there the command to work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It doesn't say 6 days or 5 days, or if you can get it all done in one day, that's fine. There's the command to work. 6 days you shall labor. Now, it doesn't just mean our careers. We know that work is a broader context. It means within our homes, our communities, our church. I mean, we're to be about all that God calls us to do during those 6 days. God commands us to be at work. We are in the tradition of theology known as Reformed theology. One of the beautiful things about Reformed theology is that it took a look at our work, our vocations, and said, this is God-ordained and important. And it said, it isn't just the priests, or now the pastors, the ministers, the elders, the deacons. It isn't just those who are ordained in church service, who have vocation that is significant to God. All work that is God-directed, we'll get to that, but is significant. Vocation is important. And so all of the work that each of us does, God has called us to do, and we're to view that work as part of that calling. And so it's a vocation. God commands us to work, and we would say it's for our good. Everything that God calls us to do in Scripture, when we look at it, there are promises that are there. There are the securities that God is with us. So when we talk about that security, that God enables us to do our work, we see it right there within the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, it's verses 1 and 2, and in Deuteronomy, I didn't have Dee read it, but it's the verses that just right before the first commandment, and it begins this way. God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I am the Lord, the special name for God, Yahweh. And so God gives his name to Moses, just basically says, I am who I am. How do you define God? He just simply is. He's who he is. There's no one else like God. So this is the sovereign God, the only God. I am God, the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. I'm the one who delivered you. I'm the one who saved you from slavery. And therefore we come in the context of work, and you shall do your labor. Why? Because God is the one who is there to work for our benefit. And God has commanded that work. And our work has manifold purpose, doesn't it? We can see that our work that we do each day provides for our basic needs. We have the need for food, for clothing, for shelter. And so we provide for ourselves and our family and for others. We're about that work. It has that purpose. It utilizes our creativity. Part of being created in the image of God is God gave us minds that can think and be creative. And we're called to be creative in a godly way. All of our work is to be godly. In other words, our work is not to be in directions that would be sinful. So God does not say, well, your vocation is a thief, that's okay. Just do your best as a thief. Everything that we're to do is to be done in a way that is righteous and holy, as God is righteous and holy. So the purpose of our creativity is not to be a creative thief, but to be creative in whatever God calls us to do. And so if God is calling us to shine shoes or do housework or to build houses or to write code for computers or to build spaceships, whatever it is, God is saying, be creative in the way that you do this and do your best. Another part of work is it often has a relationship aspect, doesn't it? Sometimes we work by ourselves, just us only. But most jobs that are out there today, and I'm throwing in volunteer work as well, everything we do, but most of them have a relationship aspect. You have coworkers that you're working on a project together. Or at least you're tied in together as working towards the final end of whatever the company does. But relationships, building and maintaining those, is an important part of work. And God calls us to be people of relationships, right? And we are to love others as God has loved us. And so we're building these relationships, and it's part of our work. Work also has the aspect of the community good. And so we look around in our nation and perhaps the global community, and we say, what is it that I do or can do that can touch other people in a positive way? Work has that aspect. It also has to do with the stewardship of our planet. When God put Adam in the garden, it says, now you're to take care of this. There is a stewardship of the resources that God is saying, Adam, you're responsible for this. So don't just go in and destroy it all so that there's nothing there tomorrow. View the creation, the garden that is there, as this gift to treasure, to maintain, to work for its good because it's part of the created order. And the stewardship of life, our work, needs to take on that aspect. And we talk about that in our country. We want to be good stewards of the planet, the ecological ramifications that are there. We try to do a good job, but you know, we continue, just because of stuff that we produce, to put out a lot of garbage. But what are we called to do with that? What does God want us to do with the things in His creation, whether it be the garbage we produce or just sustaining the creation as best we can, treating it well? All of this is part of our work, what God has called us to. One of the most important things about our work is that it has eternal significance. Everything that we do is going to come before us with the judgment seat. And, you know, grace is so important because God is going to look at the stuff we did that was bad, the work that was insufficient, the stewardship that we failed in. God is going to look at all that, and in the end, for us, when we've trusted in Him, He's going to say, well, that just gets burned up, but you have life. And the things where you were faithful, these continue to glorify God. All that we do in our work, our striving should be through God's power, through the Holy Spirit, should be to glorify God, to have everything point to Him, and to recognize that it will last throughout eternity. Everything that we do in word and deed should be done in the name of Jesus Christ. So, in the character of Christ, with the love, the compassion, the dedication and devotion, which for Jesus meant going all the way to the cross, seeking to excel in all that God has called us to do, and having the right heart in it, gives it that eternal significance. And then doing it then with thanksgiving in our hearts. That's the beautiful thing. You know, I love reading the comics, and I don't often read all of the comics, but the one that I go to first is Dilbert. I don't know if any of you read Dilbert, but it kind of gives me a little bit of pulse of the business world. Now it's satire, it's tongue-in-cheek, and it's not real, but one of the things that I notice in Dilbert is that nobody's happy. Really, they just all have their own way of grumbling. I think it's Wally, who never does any work. He's always evading work. And Dilbert is the one who does stuff, but he's always trying to get it done. And the boss is always keeping him from being efficient. And, you know, each character just has their different aspect of where it's difficult. And then there's Dogbert and Catbert, where these almost like evil characters that just look down on the people and keep them from having any joy in their work. The thing that is missing in Dilbert, and it's not meant to be a religious strip, the thing that is missing and why there's no joy is because God is absent in it. And when God is present in our work, then scrubbing the toilet, washing the dishes, mowing the lawn, going out to whatever job it might be, has significance, purpose, and can be done in a way that shows forth the beauty and the glory of God through our attitude and creativity and our thankfulness. And so God created us to work. God made us also with a need for rest. That is so important. Perhaps something that every generation has wrestled with. Prior, 200 years ago, still a large part of our country, you had people that were farmers, and you know, work needed to be done 7 days a week. Life seemed to be dependent upon work each day. I don't think we can point to our generation and say that just because the Sabbath is no longer held as holy. And I'm thinking of, I think most everybody here can remember a time when stores were closed on Sundays. Movie theaters weren't open. I mean, just businesses were closed. It's a cultural thing. And then slowly, some chain stores started to open up on Sundays. And now everything's open up on Sundays except for maybe banks. I mean, just everything's going on. But I think every generation has had to deal with, what do we do with this command about the Sabbath rest? What do we do with that? Well, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees took the Sabbath very seriously, and it had a good start going back to when God's people were held captive in Babylon, and they were trying to take God's word very seriously and to hold their distinctives of what does it mean for us to be Jews in a foreign land. And they began to look at this. What does it mean to follow this Sabbath and not do any work? But then over the years, they legalized it. So they had lists of what it meant not to do any work. And we have to be careful not to do that. And so Jesus spoke some very hard words to them and demonstrated that the Sabbath was something that was made for us, not to be a burden upon us. But what is it? What is this Sabbath rest? So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath created for us was to remind us of our deep needs. That we have a need for God. But we're not sufficient in and of ourselves. So you take that day off in there. I don't have to work that day. And I can still make it. Because God's in control. But God had some other things in mind for us too. He's the one who created us. He knows our bodies so well. He knows that we need time to physically re-energize. And that's one thing that modern science has shown, is that there is great benefit to getting good sleep, good rest. They can now talk about, you can exercise too much. You can work too hard. And you need that time for your bodies to rest. They even look at naps and say, those are good. That gives your body that time just to re-energize. God knows that and gives to us a gift of a day to relax, to let our bodies, the muscles relax, but also our minds. And again, studies these days show that we need that mental break. But it isn't just studies today. Just in some reading this week, it goes back to, I mean, Leonardo da Vinci, Aesop. You had some of the philosophers that were before Jesus, Greek philosophers, Socrates, Plato, they all wrote about this need to step back and to allow our minds to refocus. And because of that, they became incredibly productive. And we know it. I mean, if we're just working so hard and our minds just get burned out and in a rut, but we get the rest that's needed, and all of a sudden, we find a clarity coming, some answers that would not have been there. Why? Because that's the way God made our minds to work. We need that rest, and God gives us the Sabbath as part of that rest, as a gift, so we can mentally refocus. But God also knows that we need to be spiritually renewed. We can live our lives each day seeking to do God's will and seeking to glorify Him in all things, doing devotions, trying to find our rest in God each day, but God knows also that we need a longer period of time and a time with community to worship and to find our spiritual refocus and rest. And you know, when we're singing our songs and hymns, God is spiritually giving us rest. We come in our prayers, spiritual rest. The Word of God through the Holy Spirit, spiritually helping us to find rest in His grace. So God knows that through a Sabbath, through this time of rest, spiritual renewal, we need that. But there's something more we find in the Ten Commandments and this command to have a Sabbath that is so important for us. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. It isn't just us saying. So if we have others who are working for us, which we do, here's the tricky thing. When we go to a store on a Sunday, which we're going to do today after worship, those people are working for us. But God is calling for us, and whether it be, it's hard to figure, does it have to be just one day that everybody in our whole culture, even if they're not a Christian, or can their day of rest be other days? But the reality is everybody needs that time of rest, and we're called as Christians to provide that for them. So whether it be our families or our servants, the people who somehow are working for us, our livestock, and then it says, and the sojourner within your gates. Even people who are visiting, coming in perhaps from other countries, you know, they're not called in to do the busyness of the labor so that we can be at rest. And so the Sabbath is also a call to care for others as we care for ourselves and to seek social justice. We're looking at other people in a justice system with work in the same manner as we want justice in our work. That's what the Sabbath reminds us of. And we're called to obey that. The Sabbath rest that God calls us into, we'll never fully experience it in this lifetime. In the age to come, everything will be perfectly at rest. God's perfect peace will be there. I think we're still going to be working. I think Scripture tells us that we'll be doing some type of work, but that work is going to be something that is done perfectly. There won't be sin to hinder it. The purpose will be very clearly that it's glorifying God. whatever we're doing will be very clear to one another, that we're all in this together, that relationship aspect, and we're glorifying God. That'll be in the age to come. But in this age, we still want to find the rest that God offers, his peace. And it's found in Jesus. So the grace that we have that comes, knowing that we have salvation, our sins are forgiven in him, but more than that, the burdens of life, the strivings each day that can weigh us down. Jesus could look out at crowds, and it says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He'd look out on them, and he would say this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," the yoke they would put on oxen to do the work. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We come to Jesus to find our rest in all that he has done for us and his continued grace that is given to us to sustain us each and every day and to renew us, to refocus our minds, to re-energize our bodies. We turn to Jesus. Let's pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, that you give us rest. Lord, we know that to some degree we have lost focus of what it means to keep the Sabbath holy. And we ask that you would give us wisdom and direction in that so that we can be faithful to you and acknowledge that you are sovereign and that we need to find our work focused through you and find our rest in you as well. And so we ask that you would do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.